The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's found page 4 of the New Testament portion of the Pew Bibles in front of you. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Eternal God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and musings on all of our hearts, souls, and minds not only be acceptable to you, but seek to be blessings to one another through your grace as we bring about your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. During my freshman year at the University of North Texas, one of the things I loved most about campus life, other than Tuesday, Thursday pizza nights at Clark Hall, those are awesome. But other than that, I loved the rock climbing wall they had at the rec center. Yeah, I see Ryan, he's a rock climber, he's going, woo. The 45-foot high wall is positioned beautifully under a large glass dome, solar dome, which allows light to fall onto the climbing area below beautifully. I spent many hours there meeting new friends that first year of college, just trying to forget about the pressures of looming papers and exams. A rule that you will find at almost every rock climbing wall is that in order to climb on your own without a partner, you have to take what's called a skills check. And a skills check is what the staff administers to those who are wanting to climb to give them information about all the different equipment and the language the climbers use. It really isn't rocket science, though. You only need two people, rather than knowing the equipment, to climb any other rock or wall. One is called the belayer, and one is the climber. A belayer is the person who stands on the ground and holds the rope and moves it through their hands that's connected to a device that's called the belayer, and it allows the rope to be loosened and tightened. And that same rope is connected to the climber above. This setup makes it to where the climber can move up and around the wall without having to worry about plummeting to an early death. Sounds like fun, right? The most exhilarating part of climbing to me is when you reach the top of that route, when you pull yourself up with that last bit of strength that your body has to give, and then finally you're there. But after all of that energy and time that you spend getting to the top, you then have to be ready to come down. You have to be ready to fall. One of the terms you become familiar with in climbing is called lowering, and it's pretty much what you think. Let's say you are a climber and you are at a top of a route and you just reached your goal, feeling good, and you're ready to come down. So you call out to the belayer below, "Lower." At this point, you literally have to lie back as though you were reclining in a lounger and start to walk down the wall. Now, hopefully at this point, the person who is below you, your belayer, is not checking their Facebook feed, but ready to safely and secure you, bring you back down to where gravity is more of your friend. But there's this interesting thing that fascinates me about rock climbing, and that is, it's not enough to just climb to the top. You also have to come down. You have to be ready and willing to practice this art of falling. There's no way around it. You have to accept that falling is a part of the journey. In the scripture we heard from Jacqueline this morning, we hear Jesus, the righteous teacher, delivering the Sermon on the Mount. The same principle that's tied to climbing is found here with the disciples. They have to be willing to accept that falling will be a part of their journey. After first calling together the disciples and then going around Galilee to preach the good news and heal people, Jesus then comes to where our scripture is this morning, the Sermon on the Mount, to where he gives his first public act of delivering the sermon to the disciples. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel represents the skills check lesson that Jesus is giving to the disciples. The sermon also serves as Jesus' interpretation and fulfillment of Mosaic Law, also known as the Torah. And what does Jesus start off his sermon, his lesson, by giving the disciples? Homework. Kidding. It's blessings. Jesus offers them blessings. Jesus doesn't start things off by giving them a syllabus, a list of to-dos, or some kind of evaluation to test their readiness. The very first thing Jesus does is offer the disciples blessings. What a beautiful and complicated way to start off a lesson. The Greek word here in our text used for blessings, makarios, can be translated as, oh, the blessedness of, which points to having a right relationship or a righteous relationship with God, which brings joy. When we read through these blessings, at first glance, we may think that they are instructions or suggestions for a way of life, that they may be keys to success on our way to becoming the best us that we can possibly be. Like, for instance, in order to succeed in life, you must become poor in spirit, or you will only find happiness if you become meek, merciful, a peacemaker, and so on. But is that what Jesus is really saying here? Or is it that Jesus is simply naming these people, naming other people around, people who are suffering and living under an umbrella of oppression? Could it be that Jesus is naming all of these people as blessings? As theologian David Loos puts it, Jesus isn't setting up conditions or terms, but rather is just plain blessing people. All kinds of people, all kinds of down and out, extremely vulnerable at the bottom of the ladder people. And these blessings, they're not conditional to what these people believed, what ethnicity they were, what gender or sexual orientation they were. They are just named as blessings. For these disciples being named as blessings, it must have been kind of weird for them to hear that at first. Remember that this is a world that was selling the exact opposite of Jesus' message. The worldly beatitudes are much different from what we heard this morning. Those are, and I'm sure they're not relevant today, blessed are those who are independent, not poor in spirit, who are content, not who mourn, who are courageous, not meek. Blessed are the energetic and determined, not people hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Blessed are those who order that they be dealt with justly, not the merciful, who are inwardly focused on personal goals, not the pure in heart, who fight only for themselves, not the peacemakers, who have a safe and secure life, not the persecuted. And blessed are those who are only concerned with having a good social status, not those being reviled or slandered. What Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount to the disciples is a complete reversal, a 180 reordering of everything that they knew. Jesus' teaching is not telling the disciples to climb through life in such a way that they can reach the top, but instead to fall. To fall into a new reality as they receive God's grace that names each of them as blessings. David Loos, the theologian I mentioned earlier, is also a Lutheran pastor and professor of religion who currently serves as the president at Lutheran Seminary in Philadelphia. When he was trying to get his doctorate at Princeton Theological Seminary, one of his professors was the renowned Baptist preacher Cleophas LaRue. And Dr. LaRue, they had an interesting relationship around campus. Whenever Dr. LaRue would see David around, he would call out to him, "Dr. Loos." And at first, David just shrugged it off, thinking, okay, maybe he's mistaken. But then it kept happening over and over again, to the point that David got kind of uncomfortable and said to his professor, "Dr. LaRue, I haven't earned my doctorate yet. I don't think you should be calling me that." "Dr. Loos," LaRue patiently responded, "in the African American church, we are not content to name you what you are, but instead, name you what we believe you will be." Blessing, as Dr. Loos says, is something that cannot be pursued, but can only be received as a gift. As followers and students of Christ, we are taught ourselves to fall with trust as we receive the unexpected, the unsettling, and the nearly inconceivable gift that comes with God blessing us. This is a reversal of how the world works, a complete reordering of all that we know. How are we living into our identity that Christ offers us as blessings today? In order to fall from the world that we know, we need to first trust and truly receive that God has named us as blessings. We are not blessings because we did anything to deserve it or earn it. That is the most challenging part of living into our identity as God's blessings, that despite our human attempts to succeed in this life, no amount of wealth, status, power, privilege, or any other worldly comfort can intimately and eternally name us as blessings. That only God can do. And there is a vulnerability to that. There is a release, a falling from the world that we think we know that needs to happen as we receive God's grace. We as a people can get so often caught up in the climbing part of life, feeling pressure that we need to act, work, accumulate things, and be seen in a certain way, all in ways that are climbing upwards, to the point that we forget of what's been right below us all along. Our support, the blessings and grace that God yearns for each of us to receive. But that means becoming vulnerable ourselves to a different way of living and thinking. You and I, we are called to live in such a way where we can fall from the identities of this world that the world asks us to climb toward, and at the same time, trust that God's grace is enough to hold and sustain us as blessings. When we truly receive our identity as blessings, we start to see the world in new ways. We begin living into our lives as blessings and encounter God's grace where it really shows us what is of worth in this life. Human relationships with people who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, who painfully long for righteousness, who are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted, and who are socially alienated for being reviled and slandered. Each one of us at some point will, either ourselves or in one another, experience one of these characteristics and circumstances. And that is because we are equally human and we are given a heart by God to love and to walk alongside the suffering and injustice that exists in this life. When we realize that, we'll already know that we are blessings, being lowered from the constraints of this world and freed by God's grace to see a new reality. Today, I want you to truly hear that you are a blessing. Not that you are blessed for having done something, but that each one of you, you yourselves, are beautiful, cherished, unique blessings of God's grace. And in fact, I would like for us to end this sermon together, not just me, but I would like for us to end this sermon together by hearing from one another this blessing that God has given us. So what we can do is, well, it'll call for some interaction. So this is cool. I totally ran this by Judith. So what we need to do is stand up. Okay, so let's first all stand up. And what we're going to do is go and find a buddy. So it could be someone you know well, someone you don't know that well. Go and find a buddy, whomever the Spirit leads you. So let's go and find a buddy right now. I'm going to choose Mark. And if you can't find a buddy, join a group of two buddies. So let's take a minute to find our buddies.
It's your buddy water.
You got a lot of buddies. That's good.
Ooh.
That's good. Good. All right. Everyone got a buddy? All right. So if you, and this is how I, there's only one way I could kind of think of how to categorize this, so don't be upset at me. But if you are the tallest person of your group, you'll repeat after me to your other buddy or buddies. I'm sorry, Mark, you're not, yeah. Yeah, okay. So repeat after me. Friend.
Friend.
Fellow child of God.
Fellow child of God.
You are a living blessing of God's grace.
You are a living blessing of God's grace.
All right. Now the other buddies, look up and repeat to your taller buddy after Mark.
Friend. Fellow child of God. You are a living blessing of God's grace.
Okay, thank you. Everyone get blessed. All right, amen.